हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 6, The Meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami, 36295-309. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Worship this stone in the mode of goodness, like a perfect Brahman, for by such worship you will surely attain ecstatic love of Krishna without delay. For such worship one needs a jug of water and a few flowers from a tulsi tree. This is worship in complete goodness when performed in complete purity. So here we see is that you're having, it's in complete goodness, the pure goodness, and it's being done in complete purity. Right? So this simple form like this means he's only using these items. It's like a Dvaitacharya was also worshipping just with water. Because the main thing was is the devotion that was being offered. So Krishna is very kind that he makes it so, you know, just like he says, patram pushpam phalam toyam, that you can do something very simple and everybody can worship. But we see in here is even though it is simple, it's supposed to be, because it's so simple, you can very much focus on the quality of the mood of worship. That's the whole idea. Does that make sense? Like that. But it doesn't mean that it's, you know, all the different things are there. With faith and love, you should offer 8 soft tulsi flowers, each with 2 tulsi leaves, one on each side of each flower. After thus, because when the tulsi leaves come up, they come up like that. So when you pick them, you take them with those 2 leaves, like that. So it's very, because that spot there is actually very soft. You put one finger down and one up like this, and you know how like you roll your fingers, and you'll find there's a spot there. It just gets thin and breaks.
Referring to the manjaris with 2 leaves, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Means the manjari then has 2 leaves.
Yes.
Like that. And generally there's a single manjari, sometimes you get more, 3, 5,
yes.
Like that. Yeah. But still the spot is the same. It's still above, it means below the first 2 leaves and above the next. After thus advising him how to worship, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally offered Raghunath Das the Govardhan Shila with his transcendental hand. As advised by the Lord, Raghunath Das worshipped the Shila in great transcendental jubilation. Shubh Damodar gave Raghunath Das 2 cloths, each about 6 inches long, a wooden platform, and a jug in which to keep water. Thus Raghunath Das began worshipping the stone from Govardhan. And as he worshipped, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, directly in the stone. So I think that answers any questions on that matter. Thinking of how he had received the Govardhan Shila directly from the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, because when we're dealing in, Krishna himself expands and he serves himself, because that's not a difficult thing since everything is him. So Govardhan, he takes the form of Govardhan, because the whole point is if Radharani is going to have a problem with very intimate pastimes with Krishna because Balaram's expanding as all the paraphernalia and everything, that'll be a problem, so Krishna does it himself. So he's serving himself in that form. And then to say, oh no, he's a servant, he's not the Supreme Lord and all that, it has nothing to do with what Lord Chaitanya himself said or what Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami said. So we will leave it at that. You know, so to be able to see these things simultaneously, you know, it's just like how they can do. So from one side is Krishna's in Dwarka, so then you have the Tadikatma aspect, but at the same time is then the residents of Braja see him as Braja Krishna. Thinking how he had received the Govardhan Shila directly from the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das was always overflooded with ecstatic love. The amount of transcendental bliss that Raghunath Das enjoyed simply by offering water and tulsi is impossible to achieve even if one worships the deity with 16 kinds of paraphernalia. After Raghunath Das had thus worshipped the Govardhan Shila for some time, Swarup Damodar one day spoke to him as follows. Offer the Govardhan stone 8 cowries worth of the first class sweetmeats known as Kaja and Sandesh. If you offer them with faith and love, they will be just like nectar. Right? So Sandesh, we know Kaja means fine Gaja. You know, like the tongues and all that? Anything that it's not just the regular Gaja is where you take the dough that you would make these kind of sweets out of, you roll it very thick. Right? And then you roll it very thick, you cut it into square, you know, rectangles. Then you put that into the ghee, because you roll it out this way and cut it long, so when you put it into the ghee, it will expand like this. And so you get all those cuts in it. And if you're very careful with it, it won't break. So that's called gaja. And then when you take that same thing, roll it thin, you roll it into, you know, you put layers, you do different shapes with it, then that's called kaja.
So gaja and gaja.
Yeah, it's the same ingredient, but because it's fun, it's just like pasta. You change the shape, it changes the flavor, the effect it gives. So even though it's the same ingredient, because you've done it finer, the kaja gets a finer flavor. You know, because it's the proportion to sugar and all that goes, and yeah, I think they can use a little bit thinner syrup. You know, so I'm going more because the gaja you can't do too thin because because of the nature of it, it's got so many of these cracks in it that it'll break. You know, or you have to let it cool and then put it into very thick. I mean, there's different kind, but you can't use these thinner ones that go right in and it'll just fall apart.
And then you have the gogaja, right? The gogaja that you buy in Vrindavan, rolled with sesame seeds.
Oh, that may be another. Maybe it's another asa. Maybe gaja has more.
Gaja.
Yeah, has more meanings to it, like that. But I'm just saying, in Bengal, that's how they use the terms. But it may have much more meanings. But just in Bengal, that's the difference between gaja and kaja, like that. Kaja is just you know more fine, refined kaja. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. I was also thinking after the last class on this method of Govardhan, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Radharani herself, she says, Antaya Sadriya Bala Haridasa Vaidya.
Yes.
So she says, he's the best of the devotees.
Yes.
And then here, Mahaprabhu, who is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, says, you know, here take it. Yes. It's Krishna himself. So
yes.
There's no contradiction.
There's no contradiction, but it's made into a contradiction. And then we fight over whether he gets a peacock feather or not, because if he's a servant, if he wears a peacock feather, the whole world will fall apart, even though the cows all wear peacock feathers, the cowherd boys wear peacock feathers, Radharani wears peacock feathers, peacocks wear peacock feathers, and all that. But if we put one on Govardhan Shila, he'll crack in half and the whole world will self-annihilate. So, these kind of things, you know, that started back in, when was that?
90s.
Yeah, in the 90s and all that. And even before in the 80s, it came up as that, you know, yeah, only Krishna can wear, no one else can wear, and this and that, a whole, it's just, it means if you look at pictures of Radha Govinda, most of the time Radharani's wearing peacock feathers. If you look at any of the acharyas, she's wearing peacock feathers. It's, you know, this thing, oh no, but if she's wearing then, you know, it'll throw off the mood, and it's kind of like, that's like saying, okay, let's say the boy and girl are out for a walk in the evening, gets a little chilly, he takes his cheddar, puts it around the shoulders of the girl, and when he does that, then she'll turn into this gross, you know, how you say, impersonalist, where she thinks now I've become the boy. Right? So that's why I want to stop here, because it'll get bad if we go further. So these so-called rasik stuff, it's just so annoying. When it says here, with faith and love, complete purity, that's what you look at. If we're not on that level, then you look at, you do just as we've been given. You know, but the thing is because we take things so externally, we take it that this is what makes the difference. I don't put a peacock feather, therefore I'm on the platform of Rog. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? You know? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is that these things get introduced by individuals who pick it up from somewhere else. Like that. Raghunath Das then began offering the costly sweetmeats known as kaja, which Govinda, following the order of Supdamadar, would supply. When Raghunath Das received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the stone and garland of conch shells, or gunjan sweet, he could understand the Lord's intention. Thus he thought as follows: by offering me the Govardhan Shila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering me a place near Govardhan Hill. By offering me the garland of conch shells, he is offering me shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Right? Because then, you're near Govardhan, that's where the service is. And who is that that's being done? Under the shelter of Srimati Radharani. And so that's the approach. It means how she's given it, that's how you do. Like that. Raghunath Das's transcendental bliss was boundless. Forgetting everything external, he served the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his mind, body and mind. Who could list the unlimited transcendental attributes of Raghunath Das? His strict regulative principles were exactly like lines on a stone. Srila Prabhupada, the words Pashanera Reka are very significant. Raghunath Das Goswami followed the regulative principles so strictly and rigidly that they were compared to the lines on a stone. As such, lines cannot be erased at any time. So the regulative principles observed by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami could not be changed under any circumstances. So that's also another point that's made there, is Raghunath Das, especially since he's taken as, you know, one of the acharyas in Prayojana, then following very strictly the principles in that. But we see that's just the form in which he is offering his service, but it's being done with this faith and love. Right? So that aspect is just standard for the Vaishnavas, especially when you're following Rupa Goswami's statement that if you are on the spontaneous platform, no one knows because they just see regulator principles. Right? So does that make sense? So then he's the perfect example of that. Rupa Goswami also. It's like, I think it's one time in all the pastimes of Braj that he ever couldn't control the ecstatic symptoms that he saw. Once. You know, like that. Because it's mentioned is that the cotton in the wind, the pebble in the puddle, and the mountain in the ocean. So then we see the acharyas. And even here once, and it's happened many times, I went some, Srila Prabhupada got overwhelmed and all that, and afterwards he said, oh, sorry, I won't do that again. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's just natural that these things are kept, you know, private. And so then, following the regulative principles. Now, if your focus is only on the regulative principles, and you think that's all the more there is, then that's a weakness. If in the beginning you're very strict, then you're thinking, yes, I want to do this very nicely, you know, one only knows ritual, so therefore one's doing it very well, then it's a position of advancement. But if it gets to the point where what's been doing that steadily for a long time, and all you ever see is that, and all you ever see in others is that, then we've come to a point where he's stable. Why isn't he moving on to taste? Right? So therefore, then, that will start to become an obstacle now. But we see with Raghunath Das, he's following, others are mentioning, And he's never, you know, telling others these things. Others are noticing his mm-hmm. qualification mm-hmm. like that. So he doesn't become, ritual police like that. So you see there's a balance there. So it's not against. That's the point. The Rasahajyas are very against this. You know, no, it's free, you do what you want, it's rag. And they take it as whimsical as rag. 3.6, 3.10 to 3.12. Raghunath Das spent more than 22 hours out of every 24 hours chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He ate and slept for less than an hour and a half. And on some days, that was impossible. So if he's chanting for 22, you know, you think, oh, 2 hours he sleeps. No, but you still have to take your bath or do other things like that. So therefore, then, yeah. Topics concerning his renunciation are wonderful. Throughout his life, he never allowed his tongue sense gratification. He never touched anything to wear except a small torn cloth and a patchwork wrapper. Thus, he very rigidly executed the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So patchwork wrapper means old clothes. They get too old to wear. So they start to get too soft and stuff like that. You know, they lost the sheen. Sometimes they've lost, much of the time they've lost the strength and all that. So if you wear them, they'll fall apart. So those are taken and you put layers and you sew them together. And if you do nice, you sew a few, then you put more, and then you sew them, you know, so you just keep sewing on top, so you don't take a whole thing and sew it all the way through, it'll lose. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this one is sewn there, then the next one, and then, so air gets in between, because it's about the air. And the old cloth is more fluffy, so it holds more air. So that's the whole thing, it's the kata. Then it's in patchwork. Its main thing is it holds air, and because there's so many layers, it will stop wind. So that combination makes it very, very warm. So even though it's old cloth is there, it's very effective.
I forget the name, but one of the alwars, he was meditating and constantly just sewing his clothes because it was constantly falling apart. And every day he was just doing that, meditating on the pasta.
Oh, that's so far. Yeah.
He was known for that, like just sitting in the garden.
Just fixing his car, yeah, that's fine. You see, Raghunath Das, I mean, Sanatana Goswami, so coming from his background, he had a nice chudder, you know? And so then, when Lord Chaitanya made some comment, you know, then he went out, when he went to take his bath at the river, then he saw some other Baba there, and he switched chudders, like that. And so then that way then... The washerman. Okay, so it's a washerman. Yeah, well, he'd definitely take it. He'd definitely take it. Thus, he rigidly executed the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the main thing is there's a principle that Lord Chaitanya is giving, the Acharyas are giving, that he would stick to very, very rigidly. That's the main thing like that. Then the specifics of what details he followed, then that will be unique to his bhajan, and then we'll see the other Goswamis, they had other aspects that they would do, like that. Like he would stay, you know, there at Govardhan. But like Sanatana Goswami was not staying there, he was staying over in Vrindavan, you know, at times. But he would walk from Vrindavan all the way over, walk around Govardhan Hill and come back.
He stayed at Manasiganga.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he had his bhajan here for some time.
Yeah, no, I was saying so many places there. Also, Tir Kadamba, it was over there sometimes, and then. Yeah. But I'm saying there was that. There's that temple, that place of, where the Loy Bazaar Road and the one that comes from Banki Bihari meet.
Yeah.
And there's right there. There's this little temple, and there is that place where I think Shiva came. Yeah, Shiva came over there and said, "You don't need to walk all the way over there. You just like that." And some, you know, like that. He made some arrangement, and then I think you at that Madan Mohan, there was some arrangement, and you know, like that. You have that Govardhan Shila that's mysteriously both there in Vrindavan at Madan Mohan and in Jaipur at Madan Mohan.
And there's the big flat going in Shila at Ramadamaka temple with Krishna's footprint at the float that we gave
Yes, yes. Yes, yeah, exactly. So my point is that each one had their own uniqueness of bhajan. Or Raghunath Das is, you know, famous for just sitting on the side of Radhakund. You know, it doesn't mean he didn't walk around Govardhan, but you never much hear about it. You hear about the prominent elements of their pastimes. You know, you're not going to hear it, because otherwise 22 hours, you know, second by second, right, that, you know, you're going to have. You know, point being is that they're all very exactly following Lord Chaitanya's instructions, but, you know, for that applies specifically for them in their application. Does that make sense?
And you create a relationship for 2,000 people.
Yes, yeah.
Are they the mind, physically?
In any case, it was done.
It was done.
It's probably easier to do the physical than it is the mental, every day in, day out. You know, like that. So, because, you know, you have that thing that was mentioned here, that complete purity. And that when that's there, then the obstacles come up from material contamination that pollute the mind. So, if those aren't there, then these things don't come up so much.
I mean, who can come up to that level? I mean, who can match this?
That's why we follow in their footsteps. we can only, like we said, within the mind, imagine it. You know, it means as it is said, then we appreciate. That's the point. If you appreciate this, you aspire to come to this platform of devotion, not the items, but the devotion. Then that qualifies. That's the meaning of following in the footsteps. That was when we started discussion before. Is that's the difference between imitation. And following the footsteps. So imitation, then you're thinking, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Following the footsteps means you're just there to assist them in their service. Like that, like he's got that jug of water, you go get water. You know, that kind of thing, that's what you'd be doing. But since we're not there, then who's giving the water? You see how they do. You know, in other words, Vishwanath is talking about going down to the Jamuna and getting water and coming back and rolling on the bank of the Jamuna in ecstasy. So we're meditating on him doing that, not us doing that. That's the difference. That makes the difference between the Rupa Anuga, or the, you know, that kind of thing, and where we're just being an annoyance. So,
if the principle of bhakti is to express one's love,
right,
and yet you are given rules and regulations to do it through it, bhakti is actually simple, it's really your heart.
Right.
So whether you do it as a Uttamadhikari, Madhyam, or as a Kanishtha,
right,
Krishna still accepts.
Yes, yes.
So I tell you, I'm asking this because just before coming, I was having a discussion with a new devotee in China, and then she showed me on the screen, you know, on the Zoom, she put a new altar. And, you know, she doesn't know if the family, you know, freaking out or what. So she said, what should I do? I said, don't do rituals. Don't bow down. You've got the photos. Use them for your meditation. Offer flowers and incense, and you'll be just fine.
Mm.
Bhakti is what counts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So, but as she goes into the process, she should be expected to go through all the rules and regulations.
But that's if you can show. But if you can't, it's just like, I think it was Mirabai. It's only after she left they saw her diary. Otherwise, no one knew she was a devotee. Her family had no idea she was a devotee. Nothing. Like that. They never saw anything. So the point is that you do what you can. It means the forms of bhakti are part of the kriya shakti, that these are ways to express. You know? So that is that is, because you're expressing something, you need a medium through which to express it. So that's important. But you find you have all these different forms you can use, and so if nothing else, then, like you said, you can use the meditation. Because anyway, if it's in China, then if they have a Buddha in there anywhere, they're going to be offering incense and flowers anyway. So just while you're waving, you wave it around at everybody else, they're not going to care. You know, you bring the food, you offer it, then you offer it to Krishna, and then you ask them to give it to Buddha afterwards, and then Hari Bhava. You know, so like that, it can be done. So it's just a matter of what facilities you have available. So that's why you have the nine processes, so you can use them. But what we're meaning here is these nine processes are given and these nine processes are shown. Like nectar devotion, then Rupa Goswami gives the story of that Brahmin from South India but he would 2 hours a day sit and do, because he would go to all the different holy rivers and the arrangements for the deity. You know, it was very, very wonderful. And so then, so that means you can do like that. And like Pallad Maharaj, we don't hear of him in any kind of so much of the external, you know, but with him, he's the one always remembering. Not that he doesn't do, but he's not famous for that, like that. You know, so I think, who is that? Ambarish Maharaj is the deity worship. He covers all of them. Who's the archer? It's that Preacher Maharaj is the arch. Yes, Ambarish is all of them. So then, they just embody that to such a nice degree. It's not that the others aren't doing something of this or that, but it's outstanding. So any one of those, you know, or any combination will work. But what I'm talking about is where we say we don't need to follow them when you have an opportunity to. And yes, you don't want to get ritualistic, but at the same time, you know, which is Niyamagraha, you don't want to become, or Niyamagraha, you don't want to become Niyamagraha by throwing it out. Because otherwise, why are the Goswamis spending their time writing these things? You know, that's the whole thing. They document everything like that, and very nicely. So then it's just what's appropriate we do. So Prabhupada's given us a certain way of dealing, and so then we use those systems, and we're safe to say, oh no, but if you do that, then you won't get Rajabhav and all that. That doesn't apply. You know? Yes.
I was thinking also in this connection that we're given poverty.
Yes.
And then if we know what are the rules and regulations within that poverty, then it's easy to improvise.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out really, really good.
Yes.
But if we take whimsical, means you have to constantly, you know, tax your brain how to do this to impress. Because
yes.
Once you did it, that's it. You have to do something else. And
to get the taste.
Yeah, or like Sahajas, they do exactly same thing, you know how it unfolds, but nobody's impressed by that.
Yeah, you go up and when you embrace, and you have to go like this, then like this, then like this, then fall down. You can't just go in and fall down. You have to do the thing first, you know. Yeah, it's
so improvisation. It's really good within.
Because actual improvisation are by people who know
science.
Music. Yeah. Let's say like in the Western, someone knows jazz. They can improvise. But you think, oh, they're just doing that. They know technical. They know like 9/7 beats would go like this. Those guys can improvise like that. The Indians, they just do improvisation. They never do the same. But it's always exact. You ask them, this note has to go there, this one goes here, this one never follows this, this does this. It's very exact. So they're practicing that for years for that to come out. You know, and even I've seen where you have someone who's classically trained in the Western music, then in there, if you can kind of get them to relax, they can also improvise because they know so many things in so many ways, and they know all the chairs and all the different ways it's going. Like when they're doing this, the guy next to them is doing that, and the guy down at the end is just going, you know, so it's all going on. And so then they can also do. But that's the whole point, is that based, like what you're saying, it's based on a structure within them, just like someone who's an expert cook. They can put everything together, but they never do anything that's outside the rules of cooking. It may be outside of a recipe, you know, but it's not outside the rules of cooking. So unless you know the rules of these worship, then you don't know what to do. You won't. It's like our, you know, Prabhupada had told, use this particular potity. And somehow or another they picked up some other stuff like this. And then you'd have some things that would be super simple. I don't know if you remember the white book? Then you had, installing the asana, they would even use the Vedic mantras and stuff. But they didn't do that in anything else for doing the pot, doing that. You all have all that. But it's somehow that one thing they liked, and they put that in there to a very technical degree, but other things are very light or even left out. So the whole thing, there has to be a consistency there, that if you're going to use that, you'll use that throughout, or use this, unless there's some part you see. So we'll emphasize, if you're getting technical, the water that you're going to bathe the deities with, that's in the conch. The Visesha Argya, that will be taken to a lake, because that you install the deity in and everything. So that's the one where you see in Bhagavatam that when Krishna's defining it, this is in the stand, this is in the thing, this is in the water, and then you put the deity in, those kind of things. But then that matches, because it's all about it's Radha and Krishna in the water. The Samanya Argya, then, you know, the Omkar is in there, so it's pure and all that. You use that for sprinkling. But this, you put Radha Krishna, you're not going to use that for washing your hands or purifying. You're only going to use that for bathing the deity and for his Visesha Argya. So then after you pour some of that into his, and then that's there, ready for it. So you even see in the Goswami temples and that, or any Bengali temple, they're setting up for the arti. You always see the stuff, but you'll see that conch with that on stand is always there.
Yes.
It's because it's the kind of central ingredient in that whole technical worship. Like that. So it's like that. Then you know the tradition, it goes that way, and from there. So you see, as Prabhupada mentioned, what they were doing at Keshav, Devananda Gaudiya Math, their padati. And we see his Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very simple one. It's got all the 69ers, it's got all the mantras. Very, very pleasant, very, very nice. Anything this big, like the Gautamiya Tantra Dhyanam, then instead of being like 8 or 10 verses, he cuts it down, I think, to 3. You know, very essential ones. So which ones you cut, we don't know. He knows. And so then you use those things, then it works nice. Because even if you want to simplify, you have to simplify according to the direction of the acharyas, otherwise we'll leave out something that we shouldn't have. So, So you can have a very simple, straightforward and all that, and then it's done with the book. Because everything there is for Krishna's pleasure. It's all being done. And we see is that you can say, oh, but the 16 items here, he's saying that, you know, as if someone had more than if you'd done it with the 16 items. But 16 kinds of paraphernalia. But he's mentioning it was only water. It says the 16 kinds of paraphernalia. It doesn't mean he's not offering the 16 items. He's just not doing it with the paraphernalia.
You mean mentally?
Means he's doing it with water.
What he's doing with water?
Yeah. Means that's what you do. It means that's what the dhyanams, especially for us, it's a boon, the dhyanam. Because then the manasa puja that you're doing beforehand, whatever you would like to offer to the deity, you can do in your mind. Mm. Then when you pick up, let's say you have this nice arrangement of flowers, then when you pick up the spoon and the water, and Aisha Pushpanjali, or Aitani Pushpani, like this, then you're just offering water, but because you've just done that in the mind, you can see all those flowers.
Right.
So then you do that first that is there, and then when you do the external puja. But what he's meaning is even without all the paraphernalia. So he had, because mantras are, of flowers, and that's the main thing. It means flower means tulsi, like that. And then if you have other flowers, that's nice. Because she produces flowers all year. Other things, they don't. So according to season, you'll offer the other flowers. But the tulsi, then that's always something you can offer.
Great information.
Sorry?
Great information.
Yeah. And so it comes down to that. And then you get that You know, and then he says he's got the jug of water, like that. And so then that's going to be used for whatever reason, you know, the different things he's doing. And he's going to have his prayers. And so like that. So basically, even for us, if you have a little thing that you can bathe him in, and that you have, you know, the pulse of leaves, you have an ashman cup and a spoon, and, you know, you have, you know, both your hands that you can do this with, or, you know, then you can offer prayers, your mind works, mouth works, you know, then you're set. So that's the whole thing, is we can do, but as it is when you understand what's going on, because some, you know, you're saying there about the 16 items, oh, that's Vaikuntha, but the acharyas constantly are mentioning when Radharani and assistants, they're worshipping, the assistants are worshipping Radha and Krishna and doing services for them, they compare it back to the 16 items.
In the description, I remember reading this and being like, wow, certainly, they're doing deity worship. When the gopis arrived very early in the morning to worship Katyayani, with the aim to marry Krishna, then the Vasa moves on to them going to the bank of the Jamuna when Krishna is going to steal their garments. And when they approach Krishna, this is in Ananda Vrindavan Champu.
Okay.
And Kavi Karnapur mentions they offer Hadya, they offer Agya, they offer Madhupaka, and say, wow, this is deity worship.
Of course.
All the technicalities are there.
Mother Jashoda and all that, they knew all the nyasas and all those different things. And Prabhupada was saying, before this was common knowledge, everybody knew this stuff. Nowadays, it's like, oh, you're a smarta. Before, it was like, the farmers use this stuff. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? You know, that's the whole thing. Is that it says here, in the mode of goodness, like a perfect Brahman. So it means you would do. But the thing is it can be simplified. But if you don't understand what's going on, you can't simplify. You're just throwing things out. It becomes Niyamagraha. But you see how the acharyas, that's why we had so much problem doing a shorter padati, because we didn't have, you know, what did the acharyas do for that? And so then when we found Bhaktivinoda course, then we found that will work very nice for the home, and we've tried it and all that, and it works very well. And so then that's what we do for our simple puja. And then, you know, the full elaborate shaligram with all the technicalities, that's what we do for the elaborate puja. And so now they know the full range of the puja. You know, and then accordingly, whatever situation they're in, they can do either the simple or more, or, you know, whatever comes in between. You know, there's different temples will have different kind of things. But that's the whole point of 16, is just standard stuff. In Vaikuntha, it becomes very formal. In Braj, it's not. But it's not that it's not there, it's worship. That's what you do. It means Nanda Maharaj is worshiping Nrisingadev, you know. You know, so they're worshipping. They have the Brahmins. They're doing the Brahmins are doing the yagyas. So it's the standard Vedic yagyas. So it's all there in Braj, just like it's mentioned. That the opulence in Braj is, well, to say it simply, I think Swarup Damodar says one grain of dust of Vrindavan is the source of all the opulence of Vaikuntha. You know, if we want to make it simple. So then, that means they have so much opulence there, but it's not the emphasis. It's not the emphasis. Like you say, someone's living in a nice palace, but it's all about the palace and the prestige of being in the palace and taking their friends around in the palace and of them being impressed about the palace. But others, that's just normal place they live. You know, the kids are running around there and playing ball and, you know, on the veranda and doing all this stuff like that. And so, it's just normal for them. So for the kids, they're just doing kid stuff. You put them there, put them out in the street, they'll do the same thing. So that's the aspect is in Vrindavan, then it's all about Krishna. And it just happens to be the most opulent environment. But it's not about opulence. So therefore that opulence is in that rural setting. You know, Dwarka will have nice parks and nice things like that, but it won't have that rural setting. But it's like Nanda Bhavan, it's 100 rooms. It's 100-room house, and it doesn't say it's 2 stories. You know, so who has 100 rooms? You know? Does that make sense? I think Versailles is 100, isn't it?
Yeah.
How big is Versailles?
It's huge.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. And each one has a specific purpose. That's why there's 100. It's not that they didn't know what to do. They have particular purposes.
What's his name? Dasharatha Sutta did a drawing. He did a drawing of both Bhagavan and then
Varshana. Okay, by description.
Which one? The storage, the kitchen, the bedroom, the courtyard.
Yeah, yeah. Very nice. And it has to be something big because after taking a meal, there's a certain amount of steps you walk. By Ayurveda recommends that it's good for digestion before they lay down in the beds. So, and that's like, it's something around 70 or...
72.
Yeah, something like that. So 72 steps is how far away, unless they're just going around in circles. So it means you have to have a big house. So that means this will be here and that will be kind of out of it. Because if you're going to rest, it shouldn't be also in the main where all the kitchen and all the eating and talking is going on. So it'll be a big place. Yeah. So, yeah, from that book means the aspects of those things or some of the what do you call it? You know, technical translations of things are good, but if it gets into anything on how to apply that those are the parts you do not look at. Because he's, when I'm talking about bringing in all this stuff and it's nonsense saying, I'm going to do this, he's one of our leaders in this area. Like that. He took it hook, line, and sinker. And so that's the problem, is that then people get thrown off, they don't know, it's not the real thing.
I'm glad I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's even better.
No idea.
Yeah, so the whole point is that these things, and you know, people go, they go to Radhika now, talk to the Babas, find out something, come back, tell everybody, they get all inspired, and then, you know, in this way you just, it's a disservice to Lord Chaitanya's mission. Like that. Because if they were living like the Goswamis, where are the trees? Radhika, where are the trees? You know what I'm saying? The Pandavas are gone. You know, the one that Madhavendra Puri sat under is gone. Where are the trees? Goswami sat under trees. So therefore, if you want to, you know, imitate them, sit under a tree. You know? Huh? But I'm just saying, well, but why? Because the whole place is stone now. You know, it's fine if they develop, but then be in that service... You know, that anuga mood rather than, you know, I'm doing like the Goswamis. No, you're not. Okay, Srila Prabhupada. The principle of very rigidly carrying out the order of the spiritual master must be observed. The spiritual master gives different orders to different people. For example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami to preach. And he ordered Raghunath Das Goswami to strictly follow the rules and regulations of the renounced order. All six Goswamis strictly follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the principle for progress in devotional service. After receiving an order from the spiritual master, one must strictly try to execute the order. That is the way of success. So I strictly try to, you know, how much you can. You know, like you said, at Mataji, there in her situation, then she can't manifest as much of it. But she would strictly try to do as much as she can. You know, I mean, so in other words, stableness is the important thing. So what she can do every day without getting tossed out the window, and sometimes the devotees always live on the seventh floor, right? Yeah, well, no lift. And it's full proper, you know, floors. It's not like the, you know, yeah, I mean, it's the full, like this floors. And so it's serious walking up to the. But it's a good place because then up there there's less noise and stuff like that.
They always take top floor.
Yeah, and probably because others would rather have down. That's the thing is, in the old culture, you wanted the bottom floor. But in the new, then somehow the top is the thing, but then they have lifts. I think it was Caesar, his mother, her father, to maintain her, I think her husband died, he gave her an apartment building. you know, so big place. And seven floors. So it seems to be a standard. Seven is how many you can walk up and not die, right? And she lived on the ground floor. The ground floor was hers, and all the people who were renting, they lived above that.
Nowadays?
Hmm?
They have more than five floors,
you believe. Oh, okay. Yeah. But here is also that there's that, and I think in India also, I'm not sure I mentioned, I think maybe seven. But you always hear about, I think, the palaces and all that are like seven stories. Because that means, you know, without a lift, you can go up and down. Of course, the Vastu floor is, the bottom is bigger and it gets smaller as it goes up. You know, 1/12 less. So if you want, you know, this much, 3 meters on the top floor, then that means it's got to be proportionally down, so the ground floor would be very high.
Almost twice.
Yeah, almost twice. And so then it comes out, you know, then you get very nice buildings.
You say seventh floor. Now, you know, everywhere is skyscraper. Mm-hmm. My mom lived in 33-story building.
She's in
33? 31st. Anyway, but then one day I came with all the groceries and the lifts were out of order. And then I calculated, should I just wait in the lobby? It's nice. Or should I climb? And it took me so long to calculate and the lifts were back.
Oh, okay, well that's... I was going to say, is, I sat there for so long, I ate all the groceries before I
But I just
yeah. 33 floors? No, it's not. Yeah.
It's full.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a long time.
Some people do it as a workout.
Yeah, if you do it as a workout, then yeah, definitely.
But there's no air there. It's a very small staircase. Just for the escape.
They don't live off of air. They live off of protein.
It's the staircase and escape.
Yeah.
Also, modern time, Maharaj, it's an unsaid rule. If you live on the top floor, the terrace belongs to you.
The?
Terrace will belong to you.
Oh, on the roof, the whole roof, okay.
Nobody else
will go up there. I mean, just because no one wants to walk up that much. Oh, okay, well, that's good. Because in my world, it's always, no, you don't get, you have to share it equally amongst everybody. Everyone gets their 1.5 square meters. So you can't do anything up there, you know. 6-3, so that point is the six Goswamis, they strictly follow Mahaprabhu, but he gave the different instructions for the different positions. So that's why the different devotees, as grihasthas, they do like this, brahmacharis, the sannyasis, someone's doing brahminical work or other work, then how they're doing. Then, you know, if they're preaching, then they're doing like this. If they're, you know, cooking, they're doing like this, or deity worship. So Prabhupada's given all the main instructions. And so then, accordingly, what is your service that you know, receive? Like that, then you apply yourself. And in that way, every devotee is situated according to their nature and ability. Yes.
Even if we meditate on Srinivasa Charya, Sadh Goswami Astaka, we can see that they practice all the rules and regulations, but in the mood of Prag Bhakti.
Yeah.
And it's not contradictory at all.
No.
Because in one verse, there's this and that. It's not wrong.
That's we take it as contradiction because for us, rag means whimsical. So if there's rules, how can you have rag? That's where the confusion comes up. But rag is a mood, not an action. We take a whimsical as an action because we know an environment. We, you know, it has elements to it, items to it, and we know actions that can be performed with those things that get a specific physical result. And the idea is that physical result will give us a certain experience. And so then the thing is all I want to do whatever I want. So I use whatever I want from the environment and however I want it, and I expect to get the result that will give me happiness. But if it was so good, why aren't people whimsical all the time? You know, why aren't they constantly, as they're walking home after the party, jump off the little bridge into the creek? Why aren't they always riding with the top down in the car, sitting in the back on the thing, not in the seats, and yelling and screaming and doing? Why aren't they doing that all the time? Because it doesn't work. You don't get much. Once you hit the water, then probably before you hit the water, you'll think, this was a bad idea. But it seemed so, wow, he's so spontaneous, you know, wow, he's so cool. But, yeah. So that's the thing, is that if you understand the science, means the Hladini is expressed through the Kriya, which is in the environment of the Jnana. Means you have the environment, it has all the elements. What is the relationship between that? How, what you can do what, and how that connects to Krishna. You understand all that, then you're going to apply what at this time will be pleasing to Krishna. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so it's very standard. Because otherwise, if you go as, oh, we don't have to follow the rules, then what will you do? What will you do? Okay, you don't have to follow the rules. You do whatever you like. What are you going to do? And you'll find if you come back after some weeks, they have a very strict system. Like in Vrindavan and the puja, they have so many things that were added by a pujari who did that, he liked it. When the next pujari comes before he leaves, he very, very diligently makes sure he's doing the puja the way he was doing it, not how he had learned it. And so, you know, more deities, more. Before there was one shaligram. Prabhupada said the shaligram receives the puja for all the deities. So with Omkar, there was the one shaligram. He took him upstairs after, you know, because he couldn't do it in the morning, and it was only him. So he took it up and did after the Darshanartik, or later he did the Shaligram Puja. And that, if you had more people, it could go on simultaneously. But in other words, that's there. There were no other deities. If you had, it was only for if you wanted to do an Abhishek or something, but none of them sat on the altar. But then with time, then everybody's got a deity and they have to be there and you have to fully worship and that, and then they can't get the pujaris and this and that. It becomes a whole thing because you say it's nowhere spontaneous, but then that spontaneity becomes very rigid. So it's not spontaneous. It's just you like doing that, and now you're going to say everybody has to do that. And so then it's not working. Whatever he ate was only to keep his body and soul together. And when he ate, he would reproach himself thus. If one's heart has been cleansed by perfect knowledge and one has understood Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, he then gains everything. Why should such a person act like a debauchee by trying to maintain his material body very carefully? Srila Prabhupada. This verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 7:15-40, was spoken by Narada to Yudhishthira Maharaj regarding a householder's liberation from material bondage. On the spiritual platform, one does not unnecessarily care for the body. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Deha Smriti Nahi Jara Samsara Bandhana Kaha Tara. One who is spiritually situated does not think that he is the body. Therefore, he can transcendentally execute severe penances in the renounced order of life. The best example of such renunciation is Raghunath Das Goswami. 3:6, 3:15-3:29. Lord Jagannath's prasadam is sold by shopkeepers, and that which is not sold decomposes after 2 or 3 days. All the decomposed food is thrown before the cows from Tailanga at the Simba Dwara gate. Because of its rotten odor, even the cows cannot eat it. At night, Raghunath Das would collect that decomposed rice, bring it home, and wash it with ample water. Because when it decomposes, it means the outside starts to go. The inside's still good, it goes from the outside. So the outside will start to get a little slippery and stuff. So if you wash it really nicely, then anything that's like that will come off. And then the other is like that. So if you do that ample water, you put water and wash it nicely, pour that water, pour again. It's like when you wash rice, you get it, you actually get it off, and then it'll be fine.
No, we don't do that.
No.
Just listening to this, I remember, I won't mention any name, but when we used to have these festivals in Melbourne, I mean, there were buckets of paneer sabji, you know, piling up in the cool room that were left. There were extra buckets of paneer sabji, rice, I mean, you name it, that cooked, overcooked.
Wow.
And we had the habit of taking it the next day in downtown.
And distributing. Okay.
For life. But the council came down heavy and said, we can't do this because you can't reheat the food. They came with a thermometer to check the temperature. So you can't do this anymore. But the cook kept doing the same huge quantity. And I still remember the devotee go from the cool room into the big bin. I mean, 100 kilos of paniyas.
But why not take it out that afternoon or evening?
You can't distribute it. You can't give it out.
No, but the next day, you're saying the next day, but if it's not reheated, it means it's the same, you've cooked it and now you're taking it. Or you can look at it and see, because our temple, we took it out. The feast was, I think, near the middle of the day, and then after that, or what, like 5 or 4, whatever it was, we took it out and had everybody then. But that was...
Yeah, anyway. Even here, I see sometimes when I take the garbage out in the morning, I see plastic bags, at least 1/2 kilo of rice, 1/2 kilo of dal. Mm. And it's fresh.
Mm. Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, we have to.
Our temple figured out to make khichdi and distribute in the evening. No matter what sabji, no matter what.
But you just mix it all together.
Yeah. Mix it all together.
In Russia, they do the same.
Yeah.
And it goes like, yeah.
Laboratory.
No Australia, no coming with the thermometer.
Yeah. Like the evening set up. People who come to take, and sometimes there's paneer in the kitchen. There's like, they don't know
why. Why there's paneer in the kitchen?
There's pakoras.
There's pakoras in the kitchen. That way you don't have to separately serve it. You just put it in.
What's the sweet rice doing in the sabji?
Yeah.
Sweet rice.
Yeah.
It's separate. I've heard about it in South, but they don't seem to know. Maybe it's a Tamil thing or something. Or... that after the wedding reception, there'll be a lot of prasad, because you cook for thousands, and then if everybody, you know, and if there's always something left over. So they'll get the cooks will get a big pot, put into it a bunch of ghee and a ton of chilies. Then everything that's left over goes into there. Salty, sweet, everything. And then they just cook and cook and cook and cook till it comes to, you know, like a, you know, very thick. Like that. You know about this?
I saw, like, it's like some fried rice type of thing. They mix it. I don't know those sweets, but...
Oh, okay. I see. They just cook. Maybe it's an older technique. But because it's like madhukari, because the mix, it gets this unique flavor, because of all the flavors together. Like that. You know, they put an extra ghee and chili, so it works. You know. But...
And then cut it into squares.
I'm not sure what they do afterwards, but how it's served, or how thick they cook it. I just know they cook it down. So if it's watery, like you guys have rasam or sambar, it's cooked until it'll be more like a khichdi, like that.
But traditionally, villages come. Like, for the marriage, the boys' side, the whole village comes to the girls' side, and the next day, the whole girls' side goes to the boys' side. So they have ample people to finish it off.
Okay, no, that's good. Yeah, so this may be in the city they have the problem.
Yeah, also the fact that devotees, I mean, even people in general in India, they give all the leftovers out to the cows.
Mm-hmm.
And tradition is you cook for the cows, you don't give your leftovers to the cows.
No, but if it's prasad, you can give to the cows. You don't give off our plate to the cows, but the prasad is left over, you can give to the cows. It's prasad. That's not a problem.
The fish when they go out, the cows come and take it.
Yeah, but then you have to put it in a nice place. Manu mentions you can't just throw it on the ground neglectfully. You have to put it nicely. You know, so if it's dogs and that, they're going to eat off the ground. But you have to come and nicely put it there. You can't just throw it because they're dogs. The cows generally eat out of those, like, those big bowls, so you put it in the bowls, and if there's something else, you can throw it in with their straw, and, you know, whatever else it is. But the prasad you can give them, you wouldn't give them the remnants off the plates. That's a real thing. I mean, not that the cows care. They're very happy with it. Because it says here, all the deepa was thrown before the cows. You know, so it means what's left over is put out there, the cows could come and eat it. But it was there, only they would come. You know what I mean? Pragra Das would come, and then was to come. But.
So it means they are, obviously, I mean, the amount of prasadam that's cooked for Lord Jagannath in Puri, obviously they are leftovers already.
Yeah, well, it's huge. It means any festival that anybody has for anything, You Jagannath Prasad, you don't have caterers like you do in any other place. It means you're having a wedding, Jagannath Prasad. You're having a samskar for your kid, Jagannath Prasad. You're having friends over for lunch, it's Jagannath Prasad. That's just the way it is. Yeah, and so they can, you know, that means thousands and thousands of people eating and they have no prasad. They have no problem. You know? So, yeah, must be. They must also have systems for, you know, people who are, you know, poor or homeless and take it out to them. And I'm sure they have a very nice system now.
The lepers. The leper colony.
Yeah, you know, something is good, goes it, so it goes nicely. Okay, he bring it home and wash it with ample water. When he ate the hard inner portion of the rice with salt, oh then, one day Swoop Damodar saw the activities of Raghunath Das. Thus he smiled and asked for a small portion of that food and ate it. Swoop Damodar said, "You eat such nectar every day, but you never offer it to us. What is your character?" When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard news of this from the mouth of Govinda, he went there the next day and spoke as follows, "What nice things are you eating? Why don't you give anything to me?" Saying this, he forcibly took a morsel and began to eat. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking another morsel of food, Swarup Damodar caught him by the hand and said, "It is not fit for you." Thus he forcibly took the food away.
How frustrating is that?
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Of course, every day I eat varieties of prasadam, but I have never tasted such nice prasadam as that which Raghunath is eating." Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many pastimes in Jagannath Puri. Seeing the severe penances performed by Raghunath Das in the renounced order, the Lord was greatly satisfied. In his poem known as the Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha, Raghunath Das has described his personal deliverance in the 11th verse as follows. "Although I am fallen, the lowest of men, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered me from the blazing forest fire of great material opulence by his mercy. He handed me over in great pleasure to Swarup Damodar, his personal associate. The Lord also gave me a garland of small conch shells, which he wore on his chest, and a stone from Govardhan Hill. Although they were very dear to him, that same Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakens with my heart and makes me mad after him." End quote. Thus I have described the meeting of Raghunath Das with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who hears about this incident attains the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Right? So even here, following in the footsteps, that's just the thing, because that's the humble point. Like that. So that's the thing, is that in this, as Prabhu mentioned before, is that the rules and regulations and the rag don't oppose each other. It just may be at different times as you advance, certain ones are more prominent, certain ones are not. But at the same time, then there's also the aspect of the humility and following in the footsteps. You know, because always seeing yourself as servant of the Lord, which means servant of the servants, and then meek and humble. Those stages of development then are very natural. And so you don't have the pride of, yeah, I'm working out, I'm doing this and all these things. Because if I'm a rag bhakta, I'm a rag bhakta. No, it's just you're interested in Krishna. Rag is just your expression towards Krishna. So, yeah, because it's not an identity. Conclusion. Renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Text 220. The pure Vaishnava has no desire for material enjoyment. That is the basic qualification of a pure Vaishnava. There are men, especially rich men, who regularly worship the deity, give charity to Brahmins, and are pious in every respect, but they cannot be pure Vaishnavas. Despite their outward show of Vaishnavism and charity, their inner desire is to enjoy a higher standard of material life. 198 purport. Right? So, in here, as they're doing so, Krishna and the worship of Krishna becomes an anga of their desire to enjoy. That's why then that's called karma. So now if one has that faith, has developed that faith in Krishna and all that, and some of this is left, then that'll be karma misra bhakti. Right? But that you're engaging all your activities in the Lord's service, that's karma yoga. Right? that. Those who are attached to materialistic life and are blind to the spiritual life must act in such a way that they are bound to repeated birth and death by the actions and reactions of their activities. Text 199. Anyone, whether an ordinary materialistic person or a pure devotee, can understand the behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees if he studies it minutely. One will thus find that the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not at all attached to any kind of material enjoyment. They have completely given up sense enjoyment to engage fully in the service of Lord Sri Krishna and dedicate their lives and souls to serving Krishna without material desires. Because their devotional service is free from material desires, it is unimpeded by material circumstances. Right? So, we'll see this, especially in this chapter, the emphasis being put on that, because what's the prayojana for the materialist? Right? Sense enjoyment. It means that's the goal. It means he has facilities, he performs activities so he can enjoy the senses. So for us, since it's not about our sense gratification, it's about Krishna, therefore then the situation you're in, you engage that to please Krishna's senses. And so then that works very nicely. So here you'll see is that emphasis is on here. So it's not as much about the situation. It's about you don't have material desires. Raghunath Das was showing that very exemplary aspect of renunciation where he doesn't have any kind of facility. But we see is that this point of renunciation, it means all the pure Vaishnavas. So that means the Mahajanas, they all have that. And we see Narad Muni and the four Kumaras, they're brahmacharis. Like that. But basically, and Kapila Muni appears that he doesn't get married. But basically everybody else, I think, is they're all family persons.
Shukadev.
Okay, yes, Shukadev not also, yes. Yeah. Brahma. Pritu. Ambarish. I mean, Bhishmadev is not, but he would have been if it had been. So he's playing that role in the Kshatriya and things like that. Yeah, Vidura. Yeah, so that's the whole thing is that, and they're going to be, Vidura will be living more simply, but still within the palace kind of standards. Bhishma will be living better. Like that, Janaka, he's the king, he'll be living very nicely. And Bhagavan Mars is the king of the demons, so that basically means you're kind of like head of seven planetary systems. that's kind of the
facilities.
Yeah, that's the default setting. So you have that's a wide range, but it means your goal is not sense gratification. You're engaging the senses and facilities for Krishna's. So this thing of putting emphasis on no material enjoyment. It's not about restricting the senses. It's about engaging the senses. That sometimes gets confusing. We think, then he's just so austere. And then if you can't do that, then they tend to go a little bit the other way. But the point is, you engage the senses. How much is there? Does that make sense? Yes.
The difficulty with the false renunciation is that basically, the energy is constantly generated. Mm-hmm. So if we engage it in devotion to Krishna, then it's directed nicely. You don't have to worry about what to do with the energy it's generated.
Mm-hmm.
Because even, we take example of a small kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's running around crazy, and this is it. Because he has to get, to let it out, this energy that generated inside. So the false renunciation, what happens to people when they, really pull senses in, the energy is generated, but they don't engage it.
Mm.
Not in sense gratification, but also not in pure devotional service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is just, it
explodes.
Yeah, explodes. Yeah, exactly. It explodes inside, and then you go for really crazy stuff, or even people I've seen become sick, like really seriously ill, because that energy is not engaged.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of understanding how it's applied. Because we'll tend to look at it, the tough, hard line, brahmacharya kind of thing like that. When it is, no, it means if you're a brahmachari, then you do nicely. If you're only taking prasad and you're following the four regular principles, that's actually very austere. You know, where are the karmis that are doing that? Right? You know, so I think it was once they were, someone in Australia was talking about the, you know, the, it was a similar thing like Prabhupada with the Rolls Royce.
Mm.
Like that, and they were commenting about it like that. He says he's saying we follow the four regular principles. He says, where's the sense enjoyment you're talking about? You know, and when he listed everything, and then they go, because all your fun is in breaking these four. When you say, you know, we're enjoying us, you're breaking them. We're not. So where's the enjoyment?
When they were used to criticize us for having this big castle in the Mayapur. Come and live with us, 150 of us in the castle. We all sleep on the floor with the cold shower. You're welcome to stay with us.
Okay.
Yeah, the castle. Come.
Come.
Come, the hose is going.
Oh, you had a hose also?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
And I always tell, because I like that. Because it's a true story, because it happened right next to me during prasadam time with our dear esteemed Atul Krishna Prabhu. He was a brahmachari in Melbourne, and every morning he would turn up for breakfast. Melbourne breakfast is famous, so he's there, this huge plate, and it loaded.
So it was a full Melbourne breakfast.
It was a full number. It was three breakfasts in one.
Okay.
And he would just go from here and he's sleeping.
Yeah, isn't that far out? These super, super skinny guys can eat unlimited, you know?
And we were sitting on each other. I said, Atul, you know, you gotta reduce this seriously. You're gonna have problems with it. He said, I think you're right, you know. I appreciate it. Next day he turns up, small plate, piles it up like this.
He did resist. And he, well, one direction at a time. First, the smaller plate. That's funny. That's really funny. And because the devotional service is free from material desires and is unimpeded by material circumstances. Because we want a particular result, therefore the circumstances impede that result for us. Because that will make us happy. While if we're doing something for Krishna, even the material situation is not ideal, we'll work around that to try to figure out how to get, because we don't want to take the extra steps. If we have material desire, it should take 5 steps. We only want to take 5, better 4. Better, it doesn't take any steps. It just, you know, I say like the lion, he just sits, lays there in his cave and the deer's walk in his mouth. You know, that would be the best. You know?
That's the python.
Yeah, but, you know. A lion can dream, you know. If I could. Yeah, that's the python. And so yes. So when there's obstacles, that means there's going to be more steps. It gets delayed. It's going to take. You have to adjust the plan, or have to do something else, or try a different angle. But for one with no material desires, his devotion just remains. Because it's whatever situation he's in, you in that situation you serve Krishna. It means what you're in right now, you serve Krishna. If it's going in one direction, you do that. If it doesn't work, then another direction where you do that. So
if you're not mature enough, for example, you can go the other way where, you know, you're offered facilities, you're invited to socialize in order to bring Krishna consciousness to the people, and then you get to this lifestyle. And you can get used to it so much so that you can become really, really slack and see that preaching is more important than my sadhana.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's dangerous both ways.
You have, it means, balance means both ways. If you go too far, that's why it's niyamagraha. Either you're leaving the rules when you could follow them, or not follow, or thinking following them but not knowing what it's for. You know. So it means, yeah, you're not accomplishing the purpose that they're meant for. Or you're throwing them out because you don't know what they're meant for.
Mm.
So either way, then you have a problem there. Yeah. So this is here, as you get rid of material circumstances, desires means then the material circumstances don't distract you like that. Although ordinary men have great difficulty understanding this attitude of the devotees, it is greatly appreciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 220 purport. A vairagi, a person in the renounced order, should not depend on others. If he does so, he will be unsuccessful, and he will be neglected by Krishna. If a renunciate is eager for his tongue to taste different foods, his spiritual life will be lost, and he will be subservient to the taste of his tongue. The duty of a person in the renounced order is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra always. He should satisfy his belly with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits, and roots are available. One who is subservient to the tongue and who thus goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. Text 224 to 227. Yeah, because if you become subservient to the tongue, that means then you have to get the nice food. That means then you have to have either facility or find people willing to do. And then, you know, so many different things come up. Like you saw Raghunath Das, then you have to try to please everybody and stuff like that, and so it's just easier to, you know, go and just pick up when no one wants, no one bothers. You're independent. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. You should not eat very palatable food, and nor should you dress very nicely. Do not expect honor, but offer all respects to others. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and within your mind render service to Radha and Krishna in your dhava. Text 236 to 237. So you see, it's very much like Trinada Pisa Nichena. It has that aspect of don't get involved in all these things of the village people.
And then he says Trinada Pisa Nichena right after that.
Oh, right after that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just to confirm it.
Just to confirm it, okay. Yeah, because that's our etiquette. If anything, you understand that verse, then you apply that to anything, any of the etiquettes, any of the what Manu says or anything like that, then it all expands from that point. It's all maintained. Renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Seeing this renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is extremely satisfied. Text 220. Yeah. So in here is that not eat very palatable food means you honor prasad. So sometimes it's very, very nice, sometimes it's very simple. It's not that if there's nice prasad you don't eat, honor it, because it's Krishna. But it's not you specifically only eat fancy food, you only pick out the paneer, like that. Only the ones of this size, you know, only the ones of this color, other ones don't.
So renunciation
through
the eyes of Lord Chaitanya is putting the emphasis on bhakti and engaging everything in Krishna's service for his pleasure and never for your pleasure.
Yes.
Because he had many rahasas who were very wealthy.
Yes.
And yet they were very Krishna conscious.
Yes, and very much appreciated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very special, like Raghava Pandit, you know, Shivananda Sen. I mean, Bhattacharya was a grihastha. Ramananda Rai, I think, was a grihastha. Yeah, so that's not the problem. The problem is when it's saying it's not about that, it means dress very nicely means you're dressing for yourself so that you look good. No, you dress for, you know, what is appropriate for your position and your like that. Okay, so that is okay. Then we have another one in here. Oh yeah, because we only have two classes. Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita on the Leela Study Guide, Part 2, Lord Chaitanya's Devotees in Jagannath Puri, Chapter 7 to 13. Okay, so 7 we have meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vallabhabhatta. 8, Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord.
Characters.
Yeah, characters. 9, deliverance of Gopinath Patanayaka.
Definitely characters.
Yeah. 10, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts prasad from the devotees. Often this is the Raghavir Jolly. Mm-hmm. And also pastimes of Narendra Sarova, Night Kirtan.
Mm-hmm.
The Beda. Beda Sankirtana.
Amoga.
Amoga. Doesn't mention it specifically. It's maybe within one of these, but passing of Haridas Thakur. 12. Loving dealings between Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannanda Pandit. And 13. Pastimes of Jagannanda Pandit and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Okay, then the story of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So then he has also come up. So that means then Raghunath was there in Puri for some time.
Yes.
Rupa came back to there, right? And I think Sanatan also came.
Rupa came back in Panchalila 1. Then he doesn't return.
No, but I'm saying he was there sometime in Puri.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sanatan Goswami also.
For a year.
And,
Rupa Goswami also for a year.
Yeah, it was like that. So that, and then now there, but then Jiva was ever here, or he was just
Jiva
in Vrindavan?
No.
Because he went up to Varanasi and then went to Vrindavan. And
Raghunath Bhatta, I think he comes. Son of Tapanishwar?
Yes.
Okay.
He comes.
And he was here. Okay, so five of them were there.
Five of them.
Okay.
Gopal Bhatta was
not. No.
Raghunath Bhatta, they say. So Gopal Bhatta. But he just went to Vrindavan.
He just went to Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four went to Puri.
Yeah, so this one in here, Raghunath Bhatta, then comes. Okay. So chapter 7. The meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vallabha Bhatta, Pratigya. This is Vallabha Bhatta, meaning the Vallabha Sampradaya.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Pratigya. The Parampara system does not allow one to deviate from the commentaries of the previous Acharyas. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of chapter 7 is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhashya. In this chapter, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Vallabha Bhatta is described. There was some joking behavior between these two personalities, and finally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected Vallabha Bhatta and sympathetically accepted an invitation from him. Before this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Vallabha Bhatta was greatly attached to Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, he acted as if displeased with Gadadhar Pandit. Later, when Vallabha Bhatta became intimately connected with the Lord advised him to take instructions from Gadadhar Pandit. Thus, the Lord expressed his feelings of love for Gadadhar Pandit. Shloka. So, in other words, if the mood is wrong or something like that, then it's not approved. So, it's about the mood. It's not about the.
Mood also means attitude, right?
Yeah, the attitude. Like that. It means in that position where we're saying mood, we have attitude, we have qualities. You know, like that. Because all that goes together. It means action means certain qualities have to be used. But in that, certain moods or attitudes have to be used that it's going to be favorable for serving Krishna. Otherwise, they can get distracted from that. Okay, Shloka Nisharanam, some of your verses, 1-89. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with Vallabha Bhatta. 90-99. Vallabha Bhatta takes shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. 100-139. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dismisses the false pride of Vallabha Bhatta. 140-173, Vallabha Bhatta takes initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. Really?
Yes. Oh yeah.
He's our Lord.
He pushed him, he worked on him like anything.
No, but I'm just saying, he's taking a
connection. They don't accept it.
No, they don't accept it.
But
I mean, whatever, he's teaching in the Vishnu Swami line, no?
An incarnation of Vishnu Swami.
Hmm?
He's actually an incarnation of Vishnu Swami.
Oh, okay.
That's who says?
I think that's given in
I think that's in Webster's. Sorry?
Gorgonadish
Deepika, okay. Yeah. As long as our acharyas say, but otherwise they'll say so many things.
Really?
Because that's how you'll see is that sometimes the disciples will overdo something.
Yeah. And so Keshav Kashmiri is named for the acharya himself.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because they all, I mean, in that, what is it? Navadvipa Mahatmya. Then all the four acharyas meet Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur. And then he tells them, this is before they start their preaching, so that, you know, what philosophy they're doing and they're teaching.
Yeah.
I thought Vamapa is the incarnation of Agni then.
Agni Dev, the one in Oregon, that comes in.
No.
Maybe
he's the internet.
Whispers.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, sometimes these different. It means he could be. It means you're saying Agni Dev. Means the demigod.
Demigod.
Yeah. But it's not that the demigod might have been Vishnu Swami. You know, so that's the thing in all these is that different aspects come out at different points because so many aspects in the personality, and so then
they also come in Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, that's the yeah, the bones. But I think that's because they're trying to kind of like, you know, kind of not pay too much attention to us because it's our deity, our line, our this, and then it's kind of like no. So,
Prabhupada wrote a letter to Giranagar, it's a famous letter, and he said, why are you in Udaipur? Why don't you drop into Nathadwar and secure that deity? He said, take him to court and secure that deity. because Yajmaj was meeting the king of Udaipur and cultivating him, and he was just dropping to Nathadwar.
Actually, in the beginning, Gaudiya and Balabhadra.
Yeah, they were both working together because they would be. In other words, they would be following him. He's a disciple of Garadhar. They're a disciple of him, and then somehow or another, the mood was. But you see that all the time. As you see, different people are working together very nicely, but sometimes the followers then there's a whole thing. Okay. Verses 1-189. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with Gopala Bhavata. 3:7-4. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simply by the causeless mercy of the devotees engaged in licking honey at his lotus feet, even a fallen soul becomes eternally liberated. Our glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our glories to Nityananda Prabhu. Our glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next year, all the devotees of Bengal went to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and, as previously, the Lord met each and every one of them. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes with his devotees. Then a learned scholar named Vallabhabhata went to Jagannath Puri to meet the Lord. Yeah, this gets into a big thing. Prabhupada will elaborate on who he is. Mm-hmm. For a description of Vallabhabhata, one may refer to Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 61. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that purport is then this one. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.